It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Charlie, I'm trying my best to be a gracious convert of this favorite spring vegetable, and my family loves it. So I want to learn how to plan for and grow asparagus in our no-dig garden bed this year.
Well, it's great, Mary, that your family loves asparagus, and now we've got to get you to love it just as much. So let me give you some tips on starting a new asparagus bed. The first thing, of course, is to get the right varieties. For many years, it was the Jersey hybrids. Jersey Knight, Jersey Giant, Jersey Supreme. They came out of Rutgers University, and they were good for sandy soil, for clay soil, for hardy areas. Really all depended upon which variety you got. These were all male varieties, meaning that they didn't have many female plants, so you didn't have a lot of seed production, and you had a much more productive plant that gave you more spears. So it was a much better plant to have in the garden. There are some heirlooms still around that are fun, like Purple Passion, that gives you purple-colored spears. But the variety now that's being recommended as a replacement for those Jersey hybrids is called Millennium. This one comes out of Canada. It's also an all-male variety, and this one is very hardy and very productive, and it's one that we actually just planted last year. Now, once you've got your variety this time of year, early spring, you want to dig a trench. And the trench should be about a foot deep and as long as you want. So to give you an idea of how big it has to be, you're going to be spacing your asparagus plants about a foot apart. And for a family of four, you probably need about 10 plants, I would say. Now, once you've dug your trench a foot deep, at the bottom of that trench, you want to make little mounds of soil, like little volcanoes, that are about 3 to 4 inches tall. And then you're going to drape your asparagus crowns over those. The crowns will actually have roots that look like spiders, and you just drape those right over those little mounds. And then you'll backfill with the native soil. If you have heavy clay soil, you might want to do the whole thing a little shallower than a foot deep. Once you've backfilled it, just let them grow. And as they start growing, you continue to backfill until you get up to the actual soil line, and then water and weed it that whole first year. That's all you need to do. The second year in the spring, what you want to do is put some compost down and maybe some 5-5-5 fertilizer just to give them a little bit of a boost. And again, water and weed all summer long. This is the mantra for asparagus. By the third spring, that's when you can start harvesting. Any of the spears that are thicker than a pencil diameter, those can be harvested and you can enjoy those. And if you do this well and you stay on top of the watering and weeding and occasional fertilizing, asparagus can last for decades. Now, there's a couple other things to keep in mind with asparagus. One is the asparagus beetle. This is a beetle that will attack not only the little spears, but lays eggs that have the larvae, the little caterpillars that eat the ferns too. So as soon as those spears come up in the spring, go out there with a pail of soapy water and collect those asparagus beetles and drop them in there. That's one way to reduce the population. In the summer, if you see those gray little caterpillars eating the ferns, then you're going to want to spray those with neem oil or insecticidal soap. Another fun little fact is that when you go to a restaurant or a grocery store, sometimes you'll see white asparagus. And many people think that that's a different variety, but all it is a blanched asparagus. So you can create this in your garden. You can lay some black plastic mulch over your bed and let the asparagus spears come up through the mulch and then harvest them without letting the light in, and that will create those white asparagus spears. So hopefully, Mary, I've gotten you very enticed and excited about growing some asparagus.
I am open to new ideas and new vegetables. Okay, Charlie, some listeners have gardening questions for you. This one is a first on All Things Gardening, and it comes to us from Valerie in New Haven. Valerie writes, I will be getting 2 llamas in a couple of months. I heard that their poop is good fertilizer for gardens. Is this true? Or is it any better than other types of fertilizers?
Valerie, llama poop is excellent poop, and I'm glad you're getting a couple llamas and you're going to be able to have that poop for your garden. So the nice thing about llama poop is that it has the fertility similar to a chicken manure, but it's not as hot. So that's a really nice feature right there. Actually, when llamas poop, they create what they call beans, kind of like pellets a deer will have on the ground. So these llama beans are what you'd use to create compost. Really kind of a fun thing. Now, llamas are good digesters. So any plants that have weed seeds in them, they will get digested, and so the llama poop does not have much weed seed activity in it. And also, the llama poop is odorless, so you don't have to worry about a smell. How I would use it is I would compost it first and then use it in the garden as you would regular manure. Or you can take some of the llama beans and put them in a burlap sack, soak that in a 5-gallon pail of water, and use that manure tea to fertilize your young plants. So Valerie, enjoy the llamas and enjoy that poop.
Okay, Charlie, I think we broke another record on how many times we could say the word poop within 5 minutes during All Things Gardening. If you've got gardening questions, send them to us, and I'm sure Charlie Nardozzi can answer them. Find the link on how to submit questions at vpr.org when you search All Things Gardening. And then you can listen to this episode again wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Mary. And I'll be seeing you in the garden.